Welcome to Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. I'm Paula Slater, your host. This is an interview-based podcast where I have conversations with the most unique and creative people in the horse world. Well, today I'd like to welcome my guest, Diana Walker from Michigan. And she's the founder of the Walker Method. Diane, if you could please speak to us about your method and how it works with horses and how you came to start this method.
Gladly. The Walker Method of Integrated Healing is actually a culmination of 15 years of learning, trial and error with different horses. It began 15 years ago when my Arabian gelding had a really serious crosstie accident and he blew out his shoulders, and in an attempt to be able to ride him again, he was only 17 at the time and pretty much perfectly healthy at the time of the accident. I wanted to ride him again, so I tried acupuncture, acupressure, chiropractic, Reiki, essential oils, scar tissue, working on that, everything that I could pull out, T-touch, and to no avail. It was not safe for him to support a rider. And then one day a friend of mine came into the barn and she introduced me to this Bowen therapy from Australia, and it's spelled B-O-W-E-N after Tom Bowen. And it's been in existence in Australia just for humans since the 1960s. So she had taken kind of an introductory class on this, and she said, I don't even have a clue what I'm doing. Here's kind of the chart. Here's kind of what we're supposed to do. Are you willing to try? And of course, I had no alternative but to say yes. So we kind of fumbled through a session, and I noticed that Russick, my horse's name is Russick, that his back seemed more relaxed. He sort of was licking and chewing a little bit, and I hadn't seen that for a long time. So we waited another week, and she came back, and we kind of went through the same thing. Well, after almost a month, and that would have been three sessions only, I had the feeling that I could ride him. And, of course, everybody thought I was a little bit crazy. But I rode him, and it was different. It wasn't where we had left off, but that is when I made a commitment to learn Bowen. Well, that took me a couple years of training through a vet and also through my teacher out west. And as I moved along and started building my practice, I noticed that there were certain components that Bowen could always put the horse back into balance, almost always go to specific injuries, and we could have nice results. Things like even ring bone, where horses many times would be put down. There was a nice article in Holistic Horse about a horse in Chicago that was 2 days from being euthanized, and the owner ended up riding him on fox hunting and dressage. And so that kind of just kept spurring me on to learn more. So as I worked with these horses, I started realizing that there were certain ways I was moving around them that would put them at ease, or it would kind of signal the prey predator. So that's when I started learning. I learned Jinshin Jitsu, which I learned that actually in Toronto. And then I started following Chris Irwin, who is also Canadian. So I followed him. She was really, really proficient in language of the horse, and kind of instead of being a predator, trying to, match their language as a herd member and a prey. So I worked on some things with that. And I think, but the real big moment for me is when I started realizing that the mind-body connection between the horse, since their body is the only thing that they really have to survive from day to day, I knew that when there was anything that assaulted the body, whether it was trailer accident or being overfaced in the training, started too soon, anything that would create an emotional imbalance, I knew I had to work on that. So that's when I started sort of messing around with my version of what I call trauma release, and that is emotional and physical trauma in the horse. And so then from there, I started trying to find ways to get the owners to connect silently without speaking, just like horses do with each other, because many times I have to get the energy of the owner. They're kind of nervous, they're talking too much, it's making it close to impossible for them, the horse and the owner, to kind of join up into a point of healing. So that's when I came up with the rope walker, and that is doing some non-predator positions and maneuvers with the lead rope, working as one. And then after that, you combine that with the trauma release and the Bowen and the Jinshin-Jitsu, which is also a series of hand positions on the horse to help them relax. The next thing I knew it, I would have a horse that maybe their chakras were shut down. And it would be a question of a very elderly horse, do you want to go forward or are you done? So I would use the pendulum to ask questions, or I would use the pendulum if the owner felt the horse wanted to keep going. I would maybe open the survival chakra. So what ended up happening is I felt like I move in any healing session between about six different modalities within a session. And I just kind of segue from one to the other depending what's needed. Hence, I came up with the Walker method of integrated healing.
Now,
Now,
when you
when you
say about the working with the owner in communication, I am going to assume that you're speaking about owner, the human movement, the way the owner presents to the horse, and perhaps visualization when you're saying communicate with a horse, because and you were saying that they talk too much, the owner is talking too much, and that's interfering with the session or the healing. So what would you instruct the owner to do?
Okay, well, at that point, I would probably get them energetically busy, if that makes any sense. Kind of get them out of their left brain, because prey animals function only on the feeling, intuitive, emotional right side of their brain. So I need to get that owner or whoever's taking care of the horse to kind of become a match for that prey animal. So what I will do, depending on where that horse's energy is, meaning how far out from its body it extends, how hypervigilant it is or isn't, I will have them maybe put their hands up and connect with the horse, maybe without even touching, at a distance of 2 or 3 feet. and then let them get really centered, make sure their core is off from their horse, and present themselves as an equal and silent as best I can.
So when you say the positioning, are you speaking of the Monty Roberts sort of position where the shoulder is facing the animal and the core is facing away? Is that correct?
That would be exactly right. So if the horse is facing forward and you were at the left shoulder, so your right hip would be right near their left shoulder, and then your core is facing out. Okay. And sort of, educating the owner about what that big ball of energy from us feels like to the horse.
I think that's something that it's often forgotten,
Right. Yeah.
especially
Or
as
we don't even know. I mean,
exactly.
at my age, I was never taught any of that. I was taught to just walk up to the horse, act like it was my property, and assume total control and no partnership. So it's really kind of a re-education. Yeah.
So now, you wrote a book called On the Right Lead. Do you want to
Yes.
discuss that? How does that connect with the or what part of the Walker method is in that? Is that all about the Walker method, or is that a separate?
Actually, the On the Right Lead was written in 2008, so that's already been 6 years. And the Walker Method of Integrated Healing, I just trademarked that just within the last year in 2014. So there is no reference to the Walker Method in On the Right Lead.
Were you creating it after or during that time that you wrote the book?
Absolutely not. I was still experimenting. And I mean, I just every horse I worked on, I would take tremendous notes. And I mean, I don't want to sound, arrogant or anything. Most of them got better. We got to a pretty good point of resolution. But then there'd be some maybe with ulcers or, I'd feel like maybe we weren't 100% complete. And that's when I kept, looking for whether it's a supplement, whether it was linseed oil for scars, whether it was bringing some of Tellington Jones' tea touch in. It was just, I learned every single time out that it's not straightforward.
So, as I understand it, the Walker method is a combination of many, many different healing methods. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And the foundation of it, though, is still working through the fascia of the body, and which in turn makes changes in the horse through the nervous system and the brain, which are long lasting. They're permanent changes.
So you're referring back to the Bowen method.
Yes.
Now, are there books on the Bowen method? That was invented or started, rather, in Australia. Is that
Right.
correct? Yes.
Yes, it was. And actually, I did not learn through a book. I have seen that there are some books out there, but there's no way that you can learn this method without instruction. It's an art. I learned on dogs, and then I put in a year of case studies and work, and then I got to go to the horse. And then after that, then I took another year. So this is it's anatomy. It's very precise, very, very precise, because the fascia is network that encompasses the whole body as one. And so even when I'm working on, let's say, the back end of the horse, let's say like a stifle, I'm going to influence everything forward of the stifle in the horse's body. So I want to make sure I know what I'm doing. And it's an art. It's an art. After the first year, I remember thinking, I don't know if I can do this. It was hard.
And where can people learn more or how to do this method?
Well, that's why I finally decided to put this together as a course of study for people. And there'll be three different levels of the Walker method. There'll be one level that would be for, maybe the home owner. It's just for pleasure. You're not necessarily getting into wanting to do this for a business, like myself. So this would be a shorter learning curve, but it will take, just like I did, it will take a lot of practice, many, many, many hours. And so I have a protocol that we go through, which I did not learn. I did not learn how to move around a horse. It was assumed I knew that. I think that was missing. There was things like being able to interpret the horse's language and be able to be a voice for the horse. So I teach that, which is different than just doing straight Bowen therapy. And then the trauma release is a huge addition to that. So I do not do the Bowen exactly as taught because I've made my own adaptations as I've gone along.
I have a question. If a horse owner takes this course, the owner course, is there any danger that they could hurt the animal in any way?
No.
Okay.
No, there's the only contraindication really would be if a horse has foundered, there would be, some protocol for that. And then there'd be a couple little FYIs if we have a pregnant mare. But other than that, no.
Okay. So my next question for you is, where can people learn this? I assume they have to, as you say, they're not going to be able to learn from a book, so they would have to go to the course. And where do you offer these courses?
Well, what I'm doing right now is, of course, I have a couple locations in Michigan where people can come as these classes, since it's kind of in the introductory stage right now. I have a handful of people that actually really want to do it for a profession, and that's fine because we're gonna the home horse owner is going to just go to a couple sessions or a couple classes, and then they'll kind of drop off. So, but then if I were to have people somewhere, let's say even Ontario, that would, if I had four people, most likely I would come and start a class there. I don't mind traveling.
Okay. So if you had people who wanted to contact you, they can contact you through your website, which is dianawalker.info. Is that correct?
Right, or they can email me at touchahorse@yahoo.com.
Okay. So all of those links will be in the show notes on the web page for Straight from the Horse's Mouth. I wanted to talk to you about your connection with Buck Branham.
Okay, Buck Branneman.
Branneman, Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. What specifically the
Oh, well, believe by your, I think you added a chapter to that.
Yes, yeah. In I don't know when I started following him, maybe it was 2002 or 2003, because I had been reading, about the Vaquero methods of writing. And then that led me to Tom and Bill Dorrance and Ray Hunt. And Tom and Bill Dorrance were the trainers that Buck Brannaman ended up learning his natural horsemanship with. And so then his name came up, and he came to a clinic in northern Michigan in Petoskey. And I thought, well, I got to go see what this guy's all about. And the second I saw him, it was seriously like the most, it was like a spiritual parting. It was, I always felt like I could resonate with a horse and like I knew what they were thinking and feeling. I mean, since I was three, I've just been able to, I've been highly intuitive, and I've always wondered why we as humans never gave the horse a voice. And that's what I kind of, wondered. Well, Buck did that. And when I saw him, when he took a horse like he did in the movie, The Horse Whisperer, and he started talking for the horse. And I'm going, oh, that's exactly what I do all the time. I would, and I thought, wow, I kind of get this guy. And then just seeing how quiet he was around the horses, and then how when he rode with a horse he was training or one that he was restarting, which is usually mostly what he ends up with, which I can resonate with. He always had another horse with it and working from the prey mind. And I thought, okay, this is way cool. And then I think the other thing that resonated was the fact that I was a trail guide out in the Rocky Mountains, and we rode horses right off the Stoney Indian Reserve. And these things had like no training. And I had gone through all the formal training with the really strict instruction. I fell off those horses all the time. I had no seat. I was, I would show a little bit. But when I rode these horses out west that hadn't been micromanaged, and I put two and two together and I go, Buck's doing exactly what I did a long time ago. He's the real deal. And that's how it all got started.
So, how did you connect with him?
That day at the clinic when I saw him lay a horse down and kind of do his version of trauma release, I could not stop crying. And I told myself that when he came out and he became available, I would talk to him, and I did. And it was just like two old pals. And I thought, this is somebody actually understood me. And so we talked for a while. And then I went to another clinic the next year. And then lo and behold, just one day, I got this FedEx package. And it just said, Buck would like you to be in the book Believe. And I had 24 hours to write the chapter. So it has a few mistakes in it, but it was like, okay, write it. And then I had to record it, and they would let me know if it made, the final cut, and it did. And so my chapter is on the spiritual connection between the horse and humans, and I'm really proud of it.
Oh, that's great. So also the you spoke about the rope walker method or the rope
Yeah, the
technique.
rope walker.
And I think that maybe we need to clarify that a little bit. What does it look like?
Right. Okay. It's not getting up on a wire, that's for sure. But there's mostly the point of the rope walker is to connect with the horse through just energetically. And you know how many people you'll see, they're trying to get the horse to move. And I'm talking maybe, you know, in a healing session, you know, I just want the horse to be able to stand or kind of be comfortable with me. And it's kind of dancing around and its head's high. So the whole point of the rope walker is to get the horse to lower its head, not
Okay.
like yanking on it, not by putting a chain over its nose. It is, how can we do this without even touching the horse?
Now, I've seen some of the videos, and n does the halter need to be one of the soft nylon halters that are looks like the rope, or could it be any halter?
Actually, I prefer to have a wider halter, and but it really does
Doesn't
not
matter.
matter. No, the halter isn't really doesn't even come into play. It's what you do once you hook that lead rope to the bottom of the halter under the chin, and what you do with your hands and your body, your core, and your eyes.
So it has nothing to do with the equipment.
No, other than the lead ropes that I like are ones that are, you know, soft and that you can just barely graze with your fingertip and send a vibration to that horse that gets you to sort of joined up, kind of like what Monty Roberts, you know, so that they will come to you with their eye and feel you and assess you and say, this doesn't feel like a predator. I think I might be able to give this a try. And then, as the person lightly touches that rope, and depending on what's going on with the horse, usually it's kind of just their fingertips barely going down that rope and just kind of, I guess, extracting extra energy off from that horse. And the point is to get it to not feel commandeered, to feel safe, lower its head, get more endorphins, lick and chew, and then eventually give you its eye. And then you tap it on the forehead, and then it gets even more endorphins. And then it just, from there, we can carry that even to helping a horse in the saddle.
Now, before someone, let's say the owner, starts this connection with their horse, do you recommend that they try and ground themselves, clear their mind's center and focus?
Yes, thank you. That's so important. And that's part of what I do with some of the 4-H groups and some of the women more my age that have, you know, like for myself, I've had bad riding accidents in the past and I had to move forward from those. So we kind of need to get the person holding the rope, get them, like you say, grounded. And so I have a series. I teach them how they can do the few little exercises to get themselves grounded, and if things start to escalate, what can they do to help themselves so they can get back on task?
And also, you have another method called the air walker.
Okay. That's actually described, not called the Airwalker, but one of the chapters in my book is about a mare that I worked with that was 16. She cannot leave the herd. She could not be ridden inside. I mean, this poor owner was so patient. Everything had to be under these hermetically sealed circumstances. And she's told me, she said, you're the last hope. If we can't figure out what's going on with her physically and get her mentally, then that's probably going to be the end. And I'm like, okay, well, this horse would not let me near it. The horse would not give me its eye. It felt like a losing situation. And that's when I really put two and two together that I needed to figure out how to start to do a treatment on a horse with them long distance. Because their energy field extends almost a football field in length. So I started experimenting. How far away could I stand from a horse in the pasture and see if, they would turn their head and or maybe relax a part of the body that I was kind of making the movement with, as though my hand was actually on the muscle or the connective tissue of the body. And that's why I call it the air walker. It's
Well, you have a number of videos on the on YouTube that I think really demonstrate very nicely the effect on the animal, where they relax their hind legs one predictably first and then the second. And I
Yes.
think probably rather than describe it, it would be a good idea to have a link to those YouTube videos for people to see the Walker method in action.
Right.
So I'm thinking that this you have many cases that you could describe and talk about, but I'm thinking that I'd like to invite you back for another interview, and maybe we could further discuss the results that you've achieved with the Walker method. To fully, I don't think a half an hour is adequate to describe your method. And I think that the more that people become familiar, this is something that a lot of people would like to learn. They watch the horse whisperers of the world, but people would like to use it on their own animal for the benefit of the animal and themselves, I think. Better connection.
Yeah, to have that partnership. And it really is, through the horse's body. And I mean, that's like I say in my video, that's their temple, that's their sanctuary. And for us to even get within, their energetic spaces, really asking a lot. And so that's where we need to start. And that's why I back way up. And I do not say that we're going to treat a horse. We're going to heal a horse together. And the horse is going to give me permission. This is not training a horse. And it's very different. And it's kind of hard for me when I will have somebody say, well, I had acupuncture for my horse, and my horse absolutely could not settle down. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's the cat's paws, the needles in their back. And some do really, really well. And I'm not saying that any other method does not work, because they all do. They all do. But it's what makes the horse most comfortable emotionally. It's
And
highly emotional.
I think that your case studies definitely prove it's, as the woman said, this is you're the last resort. And if they don't come through that, then, usually that's the end. But I think that you have so many success stories of cases that no one would expect, the survival of the animal. And this is something I think, again, I think it's a visual medium that needs to show the world what you can do. So
Right.
I'm going to, make sure that on Straight From the Horse's Mouth Radio Show.com, the website, that there are links to the YouTube videos. And like I said, I'd like to invite you back for another interview if you would agree to it.
I would love to do that
Okay.
very
Well,
much.
that's a wrap for today, Diana. So we'll talk to you another time. But thank you so much for this interview.
You're welcome, Paula. I really appreciate the time that you put into this and helping me heal horses.
Okay, then. Thank you.
All right,
Bye.
thanks.
I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Diana Walker. If you have an opportunity to attend any of her workshops or clinics, don't miss out. They're wonderful. For more information about Diana Walker, please visit straightfromthehorsesmouthradioshow.com. And the greatest compliment you can give our show is to leave a positive review on iTunes. Call us later. Signing off. See you next week. Bye.